Beside a blue hand-drawn star, white letters read, Stars Media. A grayscale logo of a sailboat appears. Anchor Bay Entertainment, a Stars company. Flashes of lightning illuminate a cloud-filled sky over which words appear. Aeriscope Pictures. White block letters below a blue wavy line read, High Seas Entertainment. Rays of neon green carve letters from a black background. Radioactive Film. Under the darkness of night, moonlight reflects off a small metal rowboat carrying two men through a swamp. Two alligators lie inside the boat beside a dirty cooler, off which a match is struck. A gray-bearded man in a flannel coat and baseball cap lights a pipe. A younger man, dressed similarly, sits beside him.
Come on, Paul, we've been out here over 3 hours. I mean, we don't even know where the hell she went.
She's at least 12-footer if I ever saw one. No, I ain't leaving here without her.
And I'm cold.
Shut your hole.
With narrowed eyes searching the water, the father slowly rises to his feet. As he takes a seat, the boat rocks gently and a lantern swings from a post on the bow.
Come on, man. Can we pull over? I gotta take a piss.
Go off the side of the boat.
Come on.
We ain't beaching it.
Shit.
The son sets down a bottle of beer, then trudges upright, unzips his pants, and takes aim off the boat's stern. He winces.
Oh, come on, man, I can't go like this.
Why in the hell not?
Well, because it's weird with you sitting there like that.
Just keep it down, would you?
See, no matter what I say, shut up, Ainsley, or you're queer, Ainsley, or why can't you be more like your sister, Ainsley?
I said shut up, you little queer.
See? See that?
Finally, he pees.
Asshole.
What'd you say, boy?
Nothing.
Now don't make me throw you in the swamp now.
Ainsley spits into the water.
Here you go.
Jesus Christ!
She tried to buy my cycle!
Ainsley falls, scared by a huge gator. His father grabs a spear.
You better get away, you moron!
Well, what the hell was I supposed to do? For crying out loud, can we just pull over so I can finish my damn piss? Lord!
They paddle to a dock. Overhead, Spanish moss hangs from a tree. Ainsley hops off the boat.
Y'all hurry up now!
He skitters off into the dark.
Goddamn queer's got a squat to take a leak.
Ainsley's father looks toward the sky. Rain dances on the water's surface. In the nearby trees, Ainsley tries again to pee.
Oh, shit.
Back at the boat, his father stiffens alertly, then looks over at his son.
Keep still, Ainsley. I think she's back.
Well, what should I do?
Don't make a sound. Stay right there.
Ainsley's dad bites onto his pipe, holding it between his teeth. He stands up and collects his spear. As Ainsley urinates, his brows cinch.
Paul? Did you get her?
He startles.
Paul? Maybe we can go home now?
His head snaps in the direction of the sound. Ainsley makes his way toward the boat.
Pops! Huh?
He inches closer to the water. A hazy fog drifts in the air. In the boat lies Ainsley's father, disemboweled. Ainsley recoils, burying his face in his arm. On the ground, Ainsley finds his dad's spear.
Come on! Come and get it, you bitch!
Spear in hand, he takes a fighting stance.
I'll kill you!
Something darts out at him. Ainsley tries to run, but trips. He's dragged away and flung face first into a tree. His assailant rips Ainsley's arm off, hurls Ainsley at a tree, then drives a hand through the young man's back, ripping out his entrails. Blood and organs fly.
Help God! Help me!
Ainsley's torn in half. He ceases to move. Craggled branches of a tree hang in front of a black night sky. Opening credits. Anchor Bay Entertainment presents an Airy Scope Pictures, High Seas Entertainment production, in association with Radioactive Film, an Adam Green film. Title, Hatchet. The view moves haphazardly across the swamp as more credits appear. Joel David Moore. Tamara Feldman. Dion Richmond. Mercedes McNabb. Harry Shen. Joel Murray. The view sinks below the water's surface. Jolie Fioravanti. Richard Reilly. Patrika Darbo. Joshua Leonard. Tony Todd. With Robert Englund and Kane Hodder as Victor Crowley. Traveling now through a maze of sewers, the view continues up a storm drain and emerges amidst daytime on Bourbon Street in New Orleans' French Quarter. Partiers decked in vibrant beads, hats, and costumes fill the streets. On second-story balconies, people throw beaded necklaces to the street below where partiers drink beer from large plastic cups and women excitedly flash their breasts. Along a sidewalk, a man draped in beads sits slumped against a row of trash bins. Overviews of the celebration, additional credits appear. Casting by Shannon McCanian. People offer donations to a living statue, painted in gold. A man and woman hungrily kiss in an entryway. Costume designer, Heather Sladinsky. Production designer, Brian A. McBrien. Feet trample a plastic cup, beads, and cigarette butts that litter the street. Original score by Andy Garfield. Special makeup effects by John Carl Buchler and Magical Media Industries. Edited by Christopher Roth. Director of photography, Will Barrett. A man painted as a gold living statue takes the hand of a woman on the street and kisses her fingers. Executive producers, Andrew Misko, Roman Kindrashuk. Producer, Sarah Elbert. Producer, Scott Altamare. Produced by Corey Neal. Written and directed by Adam Green. A 20-something guy in a green track jacket cuts a path through a crowd, followed by a dude in a black graphic tee and three of their friends, each holding cups of beer. They continue onto a less rowdy street beside a park. The guy in the graphic tee mopes.
Either me.
Cheer up, man. This is Mardi Gras. This is fun.
I'm having a blast.
Oh, right here. Look at that. Oh, look at those booze right there.
A thin woman waves.
Hey.
For something new, right? Haven't you seen enough boobs?
The guy in the green jacket glares.
I'm just not feeling this. I should have stayed at home.
What, so you can sit in your room and cry about Heather?
Christine.
Man, we came down here to have a good time. You're fighting it. There's fun all around you. Stop standing there like a bitch.
How is this fun? This place is disgusting. Our hotel room smells like sweaty balls, man. Everybody's just drunk and looking for a fight. You threw up 6 times yesterday. How do you even do that? You guys just stay and have fun, all right? I'm gonna go find something to do.
What, by yourself?
DeWitt and Robinson told me about this haunted swamp tour thing that they did last year. They said it was amazing. You see all these like floating lights and stuff on the water?
You want to leave all of this to go look at some damn lights in a swamp.
You don't have to come with me, Marcus. Like, I'll see you guys back at the hotel.
Cool.
As the other guys head back to the party, Marcus watches his friend in the black t-shirt pour a beer onto the sidewalk, drop his cup, and amble away the other direction.
Ben, wait up,
no,
man.
I'll Marcus, go. No, go ahead.
No, I'm going with you. It's cool.
Thanks, man. Buddy, you're going to be so psyched you did this.
I think I'd rather skin my own dick.
Elsewhere, a sign hanging from an awning reads, Reverend Zombie's Voodoo Shop.
Right. It's official.
Here it is.
No more chicks. They're closed.
No, they can't be closed.
But indeed they are. It's a big close sign, and you're still knocking. All right. It sucks.
No, it doesn't suck. It's going to be cool.
For you, because you suck.
Shut up, Abby.
A man in a purple cape and a top hat opens the door.
What do you want?
We wanted to do a haunted swamp tour.
I don't do night tours anymore. I'm not allowed to.
Okay, it's just that our friends told us that you did one here last year.
Can't do night tours anymore. Insurance got too high after what happened.
Too bad. Let's roll.
Wait. What happened?
Oh, you don't want to know.
I so do.
Here we go.
I had a tour group out in the swamp. Last Halloween, it was the mist of night.
Yeah?
And there was this chief. It looked kind of like you. He got spooked by something in the marsh. He saw two eyes staring at him from the woods. It chilled him to his very marrow. He wanted to get off the boat in a hurry. And he had his foot dangling over the edge.
He fell in?
A gator got him?
What happened?
He slipped. Hit his head right on the roof. And sued me for negligence. That cocksucker!
That's it?
Try Uriel of all.
Excuse me?
2 blocks east on Olive Street. But you didn't hear it for me. I have to go tend to my birds.
The man starts to close the door.
Be careful walking on the sidewalk.
The friends gaze down the street.
Oh, come on, man. Wait.
What?
It's dead as hell down there, right? Fun party, bad badness. Wait, man.
Come on.
This is so lame. How is this going to help you get over her?
Marcus, this whole scene back here, it's just... Every hot, half-naked chick I see reminds me of Christine, you know? Probably getting banged by that Bulkowski guy. In her living room, bent over that beige love seat that my mom bought her. What happened to dating a normal guy? That guy's got a neck the size of a truck. And that whole cauliflower ear, that's weird. What, is he gonna wrestle her to submission?
No, stop, okay. I don't want to think about Bulkowski banging your girl anymore.
I don't either.
I get it.
Come on, man. This is gonna be fun.
Ben gestures up ahead of them. Marcus scratches his head.
If there ain't no chicks in the swamp, won't be any knees.
It'll be fun.
About as fun as crabs.
Yeah, you would know.
Screw that waitress from Fezziwigs, man.
You did.
I didn't know she had bugs in a bush.
She was scratching herself all night. What do you mean you didn't know? You can't hook up with itchy chicks, Marcus. Everybody knows that.
She said it was a reaction to her fabric softener, okay? All right? I saw it, I asked.
Fabric softener.
Look at you, Mr. Big Shot. Everyone knows that. When was the last time you got laid?
I have sex all the
time. Shut up.
They round a corner onto a street where a woman barfs outside of a store. Her friend holds her hair back.
Lady?
The guys enter the store, above which a sign reads, Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo. Inside the eclectic shop, Ben eyes a black t-shirt on display. On the shirt is a graphic of a hatchet and red printed words that read, Victor Crowley lives.
This is really fun.
Whoa, that's good.
Give us a kiss?
A man videos two women showing off their boobs.
Yeah, you love it. You want it. You need it.
Oh, damn, I gotta change batteries.
Oh, God, brush your teeth much?
Lick me, bitch.
No thanks, I like my tongue without the syphilis.
You're syphilis, Miss Big Words.
Okay, that doesn't even make sense.
Lick me.
Misty, Jack, you can get along for a couple more hours, can't you?
Seriously, Doug? I can't work with that. I'm a professional actress. I went to NYU. What's so funny?
Like anybody's ever even heard of that.
New York University?
Never heard of it.
All right, girls, girls. Nobody ever got discovered by being difficult. I mean, I need you guys to show me the love, all right? I need to feel the passion here, all right? We're rolling. I need to feel the passion. We're rolling. All right, you're sensuous. You're playful. You're curious. You're smitten.
Misty, a blonde in her 20s, snarls toward Doug's camera.
Who's ready to do summer haunting, huh? The night will soon be upon us. The spirits of the damned are on the rise. Let's get our souls on the move, my friends.
A man approaches.
What can I do you two for?
Do you do a haunted swamp tour?
Why, I do the only haunted swamp tour? Real live ghosts? Ooh, tales of the macabre. And actual sites that are still damned by a voodoo curses.
I hate you.
Oh, well, yeah. Leaving right now, $40 each.
$40?
Yes.
All right. Can you spot me?
Well, you don't have any cash?
No, I'm just not paying for this bullshit.
On a bus.
Hey, no, darling.
Yes, hello?
A 50-something couple smiles.
Hi there. How are you doing?
They greet Misty, Doug, and Jenna, who find seats.
Okay.
Marcus boards the bus.
You mind if I sit here?
You're my guest.
He sits beside Jenna, a pretty brunette.
Hello.
Hey.
Ben steps onto the bus. The only seat open is beside a dark-haired woman in her 20s.
So I guess I'm sitting here.
She smiles politely, then goes back to staring out a window. Marcus kicks Ben, who plops down beside the young woman and puffs out a deep breath.
I'm Ben.
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth, that's a great name. Because it's actually two names, you know. Most people just have one, and that's kind of boring. Ben. But Mary Beth, it's, you know, it's Mary and it's Beth. That's a nice coat.
Marcus gapes at his friend.
So do you have any pets, or?
He slaps the back of Ben's head.
Are you enjoying Mardi Gras?
Yep.
Couldn't find anyone brave enough to do the ghost tour with you, huh?
Nope.
Right on. Right on. Some buddies of mine back home went on this tour.
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't come on this tour because I was hoping that just maybe I'd get to meet you. If you don't mind, I'd like to just sit and stare out this window and get my $30 worth, okay?
A quizzical look washes over Ben. Later, the bus drives toward an intersection where a guy's crossing the road. The guy throws his hands up in the air, gesturing as the bus passes by, nearly hitting him. The bus rounds a corner, leaving the French Quarter, and motors past an entrance to a park, over which an arch trellis bears the name Armstrong. Later, as a pale pink sky bids farewell to the day, the bus continues along a residential street with its headlights on.
Okay, folks, I have your tour guide, Sean. Just sit back and get ready to enjoy some.
You don't need that thing. It's like the size of a Mini Cooper.
Let's see what I say.
Sean drives.
Like a Mini Cooper limo, you know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about.
Marcus and Jenna laugh.
We are so cute when we do that. I'm Marcus.
Jenna.
Hello there. Jim Primadio. And this here's the Mrs. Shannon.
How do you do?
Doug Shapiro. Nice to meet you.
Nice camera. Making a movie?
Yeah.
Well, what do you know, Lufkins? We've got ourselves a director over here.
How exciting. What kind of movie is it?
Well, have you ever heard of Bayou Beavers?
Sure.
No.
Okay, everyone. If you take a look out your right side, you'll see the legendary St. Louis Cemetery number 1. Founded in 1789, this here is the resting place of the first black mayor of New Orleans, Ernest Morial. It is also believed to be the burial site of the infamous voodoo queen Marie Laveau. Yes, sir. Now, y'all notice how we bury our dead above the ground? Well, that's because of all the voodoo curses in the air down here. The dead have a tendency to rise out of the dirt, so we like to keep them cemented in instead.
Sean, excuse me, but we heard that the reason you bury them above ground is because of the water level.
Oh, no.
That's right. The water level is so high that sometimes things in the ground will rise back up to the surface.
No, that's not why.
But we heard...
I said no!
Sean slams down the handset of a PA system, then pulls the bus to a stop along the shore of a swamp, opens the doors, and hops out. The others follow.
All right, time's wasting. Everyone on board. Scare bus or scare boat? Everyone.
The group heads toward a pontoon boat docked nearby.
All right. hit it. All right. No time for dinner, darling. Okay. Gotta beat the rush. That's right.
Sean closes the doors of the bus.
All right. Come through.
Shannon adjusts a hat Jim wears.
Gotta go.
Dressed in a black cape, a ruffled peach shirt and top hat, Sean hops onto the boat and flips on a decorative string of lights.
Dude.
Ben points.
That's the boat.
Okay, let's see some girls.
Misty and Jenna flash Doug's camera.
Okay, you're silly. You're tough. You're cute. You've got a secret.
The Permateos watch, gaping, then follow Misty, Jenna, and Doug onto the boat.
Come on, Lufkins.
Jim pats his wife's rump. Sean shuts a gate behind them, then presses the ignition.
All right, here we go.
Hey! You there! Hello!
Mr. Sean, I think that man's trying to talk to you.
Oh, no.
Hey! Where you think you're going?
What's he saying?
Oh, that guy, don't mind him. That's just Jack Cracker.
Jack Cracker?
Yeah, one of the local alligator hunters just sits there, yells things, drinks his own piss. He's, cracked. Oh, come on.
This swamp is closed!
Jack floats nearby on a shoddy raft.
Hey! The swamp is Victor Crowley!
What's he saying?
Okay. Here we go. Everybody wait by the jack.
Sean puts the boat in gear. His passengers wave. Nailed to the back of the boat, two planks read, "If you was on here, you'd be scared by now.
Y'all gonna die."
Jack stares after them with a worried look on his face. He picks up a small plastic jug containing amber liquid and takes a swig.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Remember, you don't need to keep all your fingers and toes on board, but just the ones you want to keep. That's right. There's big alligators in these here waters. Hey, now, check it out. You're off to the left. You see something you don't see every day, but I do. Real-life cypress trees. Now, hey, what did the Spanish moss say to the cypress?
Mind if I hang around? You know, sometimes I'll tell that joke in Espanol.
Hey there, isn't the cypress the Louisiana state tree?
I bet it sure is.
Yeah, since 1963, the bald cypress.
Oh, now, only room for one god on this boat now. Now, we're gonna move into a part of the swamp with the scary ghosts, y'all. Now, I need everyone to be over-enthusiastic or you'll wind up overboard.
A ceramic Jesus head sits as ship's figurehead atop ropes at the front of the boat.
Now, here on the Mississippi Bayou, hundreds of fishermen and old pirates have lost their lives. And if we're lucky, we might be able to see their souls floating over the waters where they up and die.
Marcus elbows Ben.
This is beat.
Come on, man, give it a break. This is fun.
About as fun as a bag of dicks. This is beat as hell. The only thing scary is Uncle Remus meets Bruce Lee. I feel like I'm in Enter the Song of the South or some shit.
What about your new girlie here, huh?
They eye Jenna's cleavage.
She eye. But it's not like I'm pulling the ass on a stupid boat.
Okay, so lay the groundwork, set it up for later.
Like you and what's your face? That's a nice coat. That was classic.
Yeah, about as classic as... It's about as classic as... I got nothing.
Exactly.
Mounted atop the boat's steering column is a light. Sean points it to shore.
Now, coming up, you all see an old house with a barn behind it. That right there is a home of a real famous Louisiana legend. Victor Crowley. Hatchet Face. The legend is that he was a deformed man whose own father went nuts and whacked him in the face with a hatchet one night. Probably on account of he was so ugly or something.
He checks some notes.
Anyway, he died. And so the story goes is that if you're ever near the old Crowley house late at night, it's still here, old Victor Crowley, crying for his daddy. Daddy. Y'all hear that?
Sean faces away as he makes the sound.
Daddy. I don't heard it again.
That ain't the story.
That's the gist of it anyway.
It's not even the house.
Christ, would you just let me do my job? Save up or sing a Tommy Gongan, yeah?
Marcus stares at Sean with a clenched brow.
Y'all try the crawfish yet?
I'm so psyched I did this.
That fade you had in high school.
What?
It's about as classic as that fade
you late.
What?
You still on classic?
Are y'all ready to see something really scary? Huh? Are y'all ready? Everyone who's ready say, oh yeah. Okay, I'm gonna do it anyway. Here we go. Okay, folks, I'm gonna shut the lights off for a second.
Sean kills the boat's lights and engine.
And once your eyes adjust, you'll be able to see some of the ghost lights just hovering above the water over to the right at Quadge Island.
Through a light fog, they observe a patch of trees.
I don't see anything.
Wait till your eyes adjust.
They're adjusted. There's just nothing there.
Hey, can we get those lights going again? You're killing all my camera shots.
Jim, look, I think I see something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you see? Now, not one, but two ghosts. Yeah, I told y'all.
Isn't that just a chemical reaction from the water and the gases?
No, man. It's the ghosts. Look.
Two blue disks of light shine.
Nah, bruh. Those are marsh vapors. I've seen this on TV.
Hell, man, why'd you not come then? The ghosts.
Oh, you're right.
Sean smiles.
Except no.
Marcus's eyes drift to Jenna's lap. She itches her crotch.
Damn it.
Now, that's the spot where Captain John Donovan supposedly buried a trunk full of treasure. Legend says, though, that he left two of his crew behind to guard it, but he cut off the legs so they couldn't run away.
That's a stupid story.
Fine.
Sean flips the lights on.
Jim, did you see that?
I did. What was that?
Oh, it could be one of the more active spirits we sometimes get after it rains. Oh, it's spooky, isn't it, folks?
Shannon clings to Jim.
Okay, perfect. Hey, who wants to be in the Halloween video? Come on, girls.
Misty and Jenna roll their eyes, then remove their jackets and pull their tank tops down below their nipples.
It's so not in the moment.
Yeah, well, your nipples are dumb.
This is pretty cool. It's cold.
Mary Beth stares out at the swamp.
Not much of a talker.
I ain't here to make friends.
Friends? Must be a local. I just didn't know that locals did this touristy stuff. No, of course. Yeah, no. Yeah, I wouldn't really do it either, normally. It's just buddies of mine from college told me about it, said it was cool. So I figured, what the hell, you know? Check out the swamp. Enjoy the activity. So I'm gonna be honest with you right now. I just got dumped by my girlfriend of 8 years, and my friends took me down here to try to get my mind off of it, but, you know, we were together since the 7th grade May dance, and, you know, she tells me she needs space. What does that even mean in girl language? Space. Whatever. Get my mind off. Just relax.
The boat runs up onto a rock and stops.
What happened?
Oh, we just got stuck.
Stuck? On what?
Oh, on some rocks or something. I don't know. Here, someone give me a hand.
Jim and Ben get up to help.
Here, help me push the boat off.
Is this a part of every tour?
Relax, it's all good.
Sean pushes against a nearby tree with his legs. It starts to rain, and everyone huddles under the boat's canopy. Misty takes a cell phone out of her purse. Jenna stares at her incredulously.
No need to be calling the man.
Marcus, little help, maybe?
This sucks.
Marcus trudges to the front of the boat.
Three half our age, and they're all over the place. Every single one of them. Just sit right back down on the
Ben, Sean, and Marcus push against the tree, trying to dislodge the vessel. Doug finds Sean's notes on the floor of the boat.
Push up. Not very familiar with your stories yet, huh?
Sean, how many of these tours have you done?
Oh, I've done a bunch.
Oh, Jim, this is a fine how do you do?
Ew, my feet are getting wet.
Water laps over the edge of the boat.
Are we sinking?
No, we're not sinking.
It certainly looks like it now, doesn't it?
Everyone, calm down. The street that we're stuck on goes all the way to the shore. Maybe there's a road or a phone or something.
Oh, out here? In the middle of nowhere?
Well, we can't stay here.
No, Jim. I think we should stay here and wait for help.
There's got to be another tour boat coming through soon, right?
Probably not. It's raining pretty bad.
Lumpkins, we can walk right across this tree to the shore.
No, it looks dangerous.
Man, I could be in a bar.
You are not gonna... No!
Here, watch me.
Jim, wait!
It's okay, don't worry about it.
Jim climbs onto the tree.
Okay, it's a little slippery, so you have to watch your step. But I think it elects a form of...
He slips, landing on a branch. A gator bites his leg. A gunshot. The gator vanishes. Mary Beth wields a gun.
Get him to the shore! With his blood in the water, this whole place is gonna be a siege frenzy!
Everyone just stares.
Mom!
Come on, everyone off the boat, it's sinking!
No way, I'm not going out there!
Well, you're going out there!
Sean strains to help Jim continue along the tree. They're followed by Ben and Shannon.
He's fine. He's okay.
Put your feet on your left. Put your weight on your left leg.
As Mary Beth hangs back on the boat, keeping an eye out, The first four make it to shore.
No, don't cry. Don't worry. It's all right, just come on. I got you. All right? Don't worry.
Marcus encourages Jenna across. Behind them, Doug waits on Misty.
Come on, stand off!
You need to stand up and stay for the higher-up again. I don't want to!
Marcus swats at Sean, who tries to help.
Stand up! Get him!
Misty! Look at me! You're gonna be fine! Just walk across!
Water floods the boat. Misty finally climbs onto the tree.
Come on, hurry up!
As Mary Beth and Doug follow her, Doug steps on a branch. It breaks. All three plunge into the water.
Get out of the water!
The women reach shore. Waist deep in the water, Doug finds his camera bag.
Who was that?
An alligator swims toward him. Doug makes a beeline for shore. Almost to the water's edge, Doug rises to his feet and stumbles. He recovers, sprints from the water, and darts past the others into the trees. The gator swims away. Marcus whacks Sean in the arm.
Good going, jackass! Hey, screw you!
Guys, we need to get ahead of this flood! Gators can walk on land too! Go!
My head!
The group treks through thick underbrush into the woods. Ben and Shannon bring up the rear, helping Jim walk. They stop in a clearing. Jenna sinks to her knees and sobs. Jim lets go of Ben and Shannon and drops to the ground.
Oh my gosh!
The rain has stopped. Inspecting Jim's wound, Marcus grimaces. Shannon sits beside Jim, clinging to him.
Does somebody want to tell me what the hell's going on? Does someone want to explain why Janie's got a gun?
Why do you have a gun?
Oh, why should I tell you, you little con artist?
Mary Beth sneers at Sean.
Huh?
Okay, look, I'm gonna be honest. I just moved down here from Detroit. My brother who hooked me up with this touristy gig told me I can make a ton of dough, so I say try it out.
How many tours have you done?
More importantly, how many boats you ever driven?
Look, I did the one tour last night, I did this one here tonight, all right? The boat didn't sink last night.
I can't believe this.
What the hell does she have a gun for? That's what I want to know.
Because I'm looking for another boat, okay? Because my daddy and my brother went out hunting on this river 2 nights ago and they never came back. And the cops said they're probably just off on a bender or something somewhere, but I know that isn't what happened.
So you go on the ghost tour? How does that make any sense?
Well, $30 for a boat ride was a hell of a lot cheaper than getting my own boat, wasn't it?
That still doesn't explain the gun.
Yeah, and why her ticket was only $30.
I have a gun because these woods aren't safe. Besides, it just saved his life. Stop it! My husband needs help. Look, we need to get him help, and we need to get out of these woods.
Who made you the leader?
We should call for help and stay right here.
No bars. I hate the South.
I don't think we should move him right now.
Well, we have to.
He's bleeding pretty badly. We can't carry him all the way home.
If we don't get out of these woods right now, we're all gonna die.
Everyone turns and stares at her.
What are you talking about?
These are his woods.
Whose woods?
Victor Crowley.
Enough with the stories already, huh?
Y'all don't even know where you are.
I already told you.
All right, shut up, okay? You're not even from here.
Ben walks over to Mary Beth.
Where are we?
It was like a dirty secret.
On a sunny day.
Victor Crowley was born horribly disfigured. His daddy kept him hidden away in his house where no one would see him.
A man with a handlebar mustache chops wood near a cabin.
They lived like that for years. Just keep it in themselves. Alone.
Now, inside the cabin, he blows onto a spoonful of oatmeal and feeds it to Victor, a hulking oversized boy with pronounced misshapen facial bones who wears overalls and holds a baby doll. Oatmeal drips from Victor's mouth onto the doll. Later, an old mid-20th century pickup truck pulls up outside a rural store situated near the swamp. Three boys loiter on its porch, above which a sign reads, "Gertrude's Bayou Store." Mr. Crowley leaves his son in the truck and heads inside. The boys on the porch scurry over to the truck.
Victor was scared to death of other kids. They teased him and tortured him, like kids do. They were so cruel.
The boys pound on a window. Victor turns to look at them, and they run away.
And then, years later, on Halloween night, some teenagers came to the house. They were trying to get a look at him, trying to scare him out of the house.
At night, teens in costumes toss firecrackers into the Crowley's cabin. One of the firecrackers sets the hole ablaze. Victor darts across the cabin. He tries the door, but it's locked. The glow of the flames accentuates his raw-looking skin. Outside, his father's truck pulls up. As Mr. Crowley runs toward his trapped son, the teens scatter.
Mr. Crowley got home and he tried and tried to get inside, but the door was on fire. He could hear Victor screaming inside, but he couldn't get in. So he ran and got himself a hatchet, and he started chopping at that door. But Victor was pressed up against the other side trying to get out.
The hatchet lodges in Victor's head.
And it was an accident, but he hit him in the face with that hatchet, and poor Victor Crowley died.
Mr. Crowley stares horrified through the broken front door.
The old man became a recluse after that. He never left his house. Just sat there for almost 10 years before he finally died of a broken heart.
Later, seated in a chair, tears spill down Mr. Crowley's face. Slowly, he fades away, disappearing from view. The flashback ends.
And from that point on, people started disappearing in the swamp. All the locals and hunters say that if you get close enough to the Crowley house at night, you can still hear Victor Crowley crying for his daddy in the woods. They say he's come back. He wanders the swamp at night with that hatchet slash across his face. This whole part of the river is illegal to even be in. It has been for years. That's why there's no other tour boats. And that's why he brought us this way, so we wouldn't get caught running his phony business. That's why I came.
To find your father?
Mary Beth nods.
My brother. He started coming down this way to hunt gators last week. I thought they'd catch more being the only boat in a closed-off swamp. I told them not to come.
So you think a ghost get your family? Okay, that is so stupid. I would look around. There's no one in these woods.
Yes, there is.
They probably got stuck just like we did. And had to walk the whole way home. You know, right now they're probably sitting at a Denny's or something.
Moon's over Miami.
Besides, we are nowhere near the Crowley house. Okay, I already told you. It's on the other side of the river over 2 miles ago.
That wasn't the house!
How do you know?
Because that is...
She points. Lightning illuminates a cabin.
I told you all the truth, okay? I don't care who believes it.
You are really starting to freak me out, all right? I just want to go home.
Tell me this is part of the tour.
Oh, yeah. I sink the boat every night. It's hilarious.
I want my money back.
All right, okay, there's got to be a road around here or something.
Crying, Mary Beth points toward the cabin.
I don't want to go that way. I'm not going that way.
If it's the quickest way, then that's the way we're going.
Why couldn't you keep your stories to yourself, huh? We're not in enough trouble that you had to scare the pants off everyone, too?
I am trying to help you. Y'all need to know the truth.
Baloney!
All right. Just you help me come pick him up, all right?
Marcus and Sean help Jim up.
Right over my shoulder. Get up.
Be careful.
careful. Easy. You got him, man?
I'm right here, Jim.
Jim wraps his arms over the guy's shoulders, and the group heads down the road toward the cabin. Behind the others, Mary Beth reaches into the back of her jeans and retrieves her handgun. With the guy's support, Jim hobbles along slowly.
Oh. All right, everything's gonna be just fine. Look, we'll get him some help and we'll all go home.
Stay close to me.
Really scared of that story, huh? I mean, look, it's just a myth. Everybody has them. Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster.
Stop talking.
Okay.
Misty and Jenna each cling to one of Doug's arms.
I cannot believe that I am out here in a swamp. I bet Julia Roberts didn't have to do this before she got Mystic Pizza.
Do you believe that Victor whatever story?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't trust anyone around here. I mean, these people sleep exclusively with their own families.
Yo, why is it that the crackers are back there with the honeys and their two brothers? Gotta care of the injured dude. I am so sorry. I never meant for any of this to happen.
I just want to get to a road, and I'm gonna whip your ass.
Jim, how you doing, baby?
I'm so cold. It hurts like a son of a gun.
How much further is the road past the house?
I don't know. A few miles?
A few miles? Are you kidding me?
Everyone freezes.
Did you?
Shh.
I want to go home.
Marcus and Sean leave Jim with Shannon.
You are all a bunch of cowards!
We shouldn't have gone this way. We need to turn around.
Go where? Back in the water?
Please, just stop.
Jim and Shannon continue toward the cabin.
We need to stick together. We need to stop him.
Come on. You can't carry him all by yourself.
Baby, everything's going to be all right. We don't need those movies.
Those cowards!
Stop. We need to stick together.
We have the good Lord with us, baby. The good Lord will protect us.
Lightning flashes. Victor charges out of the cabin with a hatchet. Mary Beth raises her gun, but between her and her target are Jim and Shannon. They try to flee, but Jim falls, and Victor slams the hatchet into Jim's shoulder repeatedly. Doug shoves Misty toward the carnage and bolts. While the others run away, Mary Beth looks for a shot at Victor, who abandons Jim's limp body and goes after Shannon. Grabbing her top and bottom jaw, he tears her face in half. Mary Beth fires and misses. Her next shot hits him square in the chest. Victor falls to the ground and stops moving. Mary Beth darts into the woods after the others. By moonlight, she scans the trees around her. A hand grabs her.
Please, please, please! Where is everyone?
I don't know.
Where are you? What happened?
They're both dead. But I shot him. You shot him? But I thought it was a ghost. You can't shoot a ghost. You can shoot a ghost.
Did you kill him?
I don't know. He fell down. This isn't happening.
Where's Marcus?
Up here.
They spot Marcus up in a tree.
Get down. No, no way. No way. I'm staying right here. This is bullshit, man. This is fucked up.
What can you see from up there?
I can see ain't no dead elephant man coming to get me.
Come on. Do you see a road, lights, anything?
A smattering of distant lights glows on the horizon.
I think I see downtown, but I don't know.
Well, how far? What direction?
That way. But it's far, way too far.
All right. Well, do you see a road or cars or something?
Kind of
stupid shit, man. It's dark, it's wet, and I can't see shit.
Wait, where's Shapiro?
Elsewhere, Doug runs through the woods, toting his camera bag. He slows down, disoriented. Silhouetted by moonlight through low-hanging mist, Doug continues on, darting an erratic path through the trees. His bag snags on a branch and lands on the ground. Leaving it behind, Doug keeps going, but trips and falls.
Doug! Hey, Shapiro, where are you?
We need to keep moving.
We can't just leave him out here.
Then why don't you just run off and go find him?
That was mean.
Try your phone.
I dropped it.
You lost it?
Moron! Shut up, skank!
Enough! You cannot have gone very far, okay? Let's go.
All right, Marcus, come on. Let's go.
No way. No, I'm staying right here.
No need to panic, okay? Just come down. We gotta go get help.
Marcus flips Ben his middle finger.
All right. We'll send someone for you tomorrow. Let's go.
Wait, hold up. I'm coming. Damn it. I'm supposed to be here right now, man. Just be looking at some titties, man. What's wrong with us? Did I get up to this goddamn tree? Okay.
Marcus falls.
God damn it, a branch hit me in the nuts. Oh, what? This is bullshit.
Meanwhile,
Shit.
On hands and knees, Doug cowers beneath low-hanging brush. He lifts a hand to his mouth and steadies his breathing. His eyes dart nervously. A shadow passes in front of him. Doug freezes, then bolts from his hiding spot straight into Victor Crowley. Victor grabs Doug's head and twists. Blood flies as Victor rotates Doug's head completely around. It falls limply as Victor lets go. Overhead, a full moon glows.
If you shot him, aren't we safe now? Maybe he's not a ghost. Maybe he's just some sick, twisted backwoods hick who, like, snapped and went on a killing spree.
Yeah, and now he's dead because she shot him.
Get your own theories.
Oh, God. It's a backwoods hick, huh? Who says it's not some spoiled little city brat who went crazy after doing softcore porn to get back at her parents?
Okay, for your information, I am from the valley, not the city.
Victor Crowley is real.
Mary Beth glares at Misty.
My mama always said that sometimes, if a person dies all traumatic-like, then their spirit can get kind of just stuck in the night they died.
Like a poltergeist? Like a ghost that can physically move things?
No. Like a ghost who can rip someone to pieces right in front of you.
I just want to get the hell out of here. You know what, Jackie Tucker? Your tour sucks my ass.
What did you just call me?
You heard me.
Right. Say it again.
I say it all night, you fake Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker. I think I hear a little Emerald, you confused wannabe.
Why'd you just get off my case, asshole? It was an accident, for Christ's sake.
The others poke their heads at Sean.
Okay, look. I'm going to be completely and totally honest with you guys.
Marcus decks Sean, who tackles him. Ben tries to intervene.
Marcus, come on. Come on. Hey, come on. Shit. Stop.
This isn't my fault, all right?
Oh, really?
Yes, really. What, you think I actually believe these stupid, lame-ass ghost stories?
Well, I'm believing it now. Did you see that shit back there?
Guys!
Jenna finds Doug's camera bag.
I bet this means Shapiro was here. What a genius. You do know the vibrator goes in your cooch and not your ear, right?
Hey, why don't you suck your dad off again, bitch?
I will right after you're done.
Fine.
Good.
Jenna drops the bag.
All right, anybody got a lighter?
What are you doing?
Ben crouches down and unzips Doug's bag. He finds a flashlight.
Looking for this.
He hands it to Marcus.
What else do we got here?
Searching another pocket, he finds a porn magazine and a wallet.
Samuel M. Barrett?
What's that?
In the wallet is a license bearing Doug's photo.
Shapiro. It's his driver's license.
What?
don't know, credit card Samuel M. Barrett, $10, condom, business card. We got two sets here. Samuel M. Barrett, Whitman Diagnostics, Senior Marketing Manager. Doug Shapiro, Producer Director.
That asshole! I flew all the way down here from New York, and he... Ah!
So he didn't really work for Bayou Beavers?
I'm thinking no.
Dude must pretend he's a producer to get his own little collection. Good idea.
That pervert! Why are all men such slime? I can't believe I've fallen for that shit 3 times now.
Okay, whoa. Anyone else have any more secrets? Because if I find out someone else is lying, I swear I'll kill you myself.
Marcus shines the flashlight across the faces of his 5 remaining companions. Jenna fidgets as the light sweeps past. The light whips back to her.
I didn't really go to NYU. It was my first choice, but I didn't get it. So I went to Hofstra.
You don't have time for this.
The others stride away from her. Jenna kicks the camera bag into the brush and follows after them.
We shot him, all right? Nobody's gonna die.
Ben trips and falls onto Doug's mangled corpse. Mary Beth whips out her gun.
Oh, somebody just shut her up!
He's still alive.
Nah, man, he looks dead as shit.
Not him. Crowley.
Well, you only shot him like once, right? Maybe you gotta shoot him 4 times. Like, I don't know, 4 or 6 times. Maybe you gotta shoot him like 6 times.
I wanna keep moving. Can we please keep moving? I don't wanna stay here.
We should stick away. We can see the river. So we won't get more lost.
Did you hear that?
What?
It's over here.
They creep toward the sound.
What is that?
What is that?
My cell phone!
They hurry to Misty's phone, which lies on the ground. Its screen glows green with an incoming call.
It's a good thing we can call for help.
They're back at the cabin.
Shit, we just went in a huge circle.
I thought you knew your way around here.
Oh, set the fucking tour guide.
Hey, I don't want to hit you, but you're making your...
Marcus shines the flashlight into the woods behind them.
Okay. I'm gonna go check out that barn. See if there's a weapon. There's gotta be something else to fight back with.
No. You can't go back to that house.
I only have a few shots left. We need something else.
What if it comes back?
We don't have much time.
Mary Beth takes off toward the cabin.
Stay here.
Cool.
Do you have a signal on that thing? Come on. Go through.
We shouldn't stay here, right? We gotta keep moving.
Look, if it was ringing, it has to work.
Ew, Scott Barnes called me?
What? Will you just dial?
It won't let me. Work. God damn it.
Gun drawn. Mary Beth creeps toward a barn with Ben following close behind. They step inside. The barn's in poor condition. Spanish moss drapes over items along a wall against which rest a shovel and pitchfork. A fuel canister lies on the floor. Looking around, Ben sees a dead fox with a gaping wound on its back. Other animal carcasses lie within the macabre shack. Ben takes the pitchfork and sets it down on the floor, then collects a hand fork. From the ceiling dangles a handsaw. Warily, Ben gazes at Mary Beth, then sets the shovel down beside the pitchfork. Nearby lies an old baby doll. Mary Beth crouches down. Something catches her eye. Ben follows her gaze to the floor where lie the bodies of her father and brother, Ainsley. He reaches for Mary Beth's arm, but she stands up and swats him away.
It's my daddy and my brother.
She folds her arms across her chest, holding herself as she cries.
Are you sure the number is 911?
What else would it be, dumbass?
Well, how should I know it's the South? Maybe you have to type in a different area code.
Something rattles in the bushes behind Jenna.
What?
Don't move.
Slowly, she turns to look behind her. Jenna bolts.
I said.
She runs to Misty.
Sorry.
Marcus shines the flashlight at the bushes.
I think we should run. What if it's a person and they need help? We'll apologize later. I think there's a kid in there.
You're crazy.
If it was that monster, we'd already be dead.
Oh, screw this.
What is that?
They just stand there, staring at the bushes.
Oh, hell no. I'm not walking over there.
What if someone's hurt?
If they're still alive, they're doing a lot better than some people we know.
You just can't leave someone out here to die.
Look who grew a conscience.
Look, they might need help.
Why me?
Because you have a flashlight.
Marcus tries to give the light to Sean, but Sean doesn't take it.
Fine. I get it. I see how it is. Make the brother do it, huh? I'm a man. Walk over here. I'm the man of the group anyway, because I whipped you.
Slowly, Marcus inches toward the bushes.
Oh, shit!
He scurries back.
Don't touch me, man.
Sean recoils.
Damn. All right.
Marcus creeps forward again.
See if it's a little baby in there. Hey, baby. You up in here?
Squatting down, he peers into the leaves and sees a raccoon.
Oh, man, it's just a
Brandishing a belt sander, Victor appears behind the others and grabs Jenna. Ben and Mary Beth, armed with tools from the barn, race toward Jenna as Victor takes the sander to her face. Blood covers Jenna's face. Mary Beth swings the shovel at Victor. The shovel drops and so does Victor. Ben grabs Mary Beth and hurries her toward the others, leaving Jenna exposed. Sean rushes over and grabs the shovel, but Victor snags it away. Victor swings the shovel, severing off one of Sean's legs. Sean falls onto his back. Victor puts the shovel to Sean's neck. Mary Beth shoots erratically. Ben tugs her away. Victor glares after them, then stomps on the shovel, decapitating Sean. Her bottom jaw hanging limply from her face, Jenna tries to crawl away, but Victor steps over Sean's still twitching body, picks up Jenna, hoists her over his head, and carries her toward the shovel, which sticks out of the ground where Sean's head used to be. Victor slams her down onto the shovel's handle, impaling her through her chest, then strides away. Elsewhere, Misty, Marcus, Ben, and Mary Beth race through the woods.
I think we're losing him.
Oh, hold on! It's off of my foot, I can't run!
You have to!
What are you doing? Come on!
Oh, shut up, you redneck twat!
Mary Beth backhands the blonde, who falls on her face. Misty clambers onto her hands and knees.
You hit me!
Yeah, and if you don't shut up, I'm gonna kick your teeth out.
You cruel, stupid, slutty...
Guys, we don't have time for this!
Mary Beth cries on Ben.
I just want to make it stop. Please, I just want to wake up.
We have to keep moving away from that house.
It don't matter. This is his swamp. He's just gonna kill us all.
There's got to be something that we can do.
He is trapped in the night that he was killed. He's angry and he is scared. He's going to mutilate anyone that comes near him.
What if he's human? What if he never really died?
That thing was never human.
The flashlight flickers.
Oh, shit. Guys, battery's not going to last much longer.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Which way?
That way.
Victor leaps out at them, swinging his hatchet wildly. Ben jabs him in the side with the pitchfork, then runs after the others. As they flee, Marcus drops the flashlight.
Stop! Stop, guys! Guys, stop!
They all stop running.
This is useless. He's just gonna keep coming for us till we're all dead.
Well, we can't stop running. What else are we gonna do?
We can hurt him, ghost or not. Look, you saw how fast he fell when I stuck him back there. He went down when you shot him. I'm saying we fight back.
How?
Misty, you got that lighter on you?
Oh, you want to fight that monster with my lighter?
He takes it from her.
There were some gas canisters back at the shed.
Were they full?
I don't know. Maybe.
Wait, you want to go back to the shed? I thought the further we got from the house, the safer we get.
If we don't kill him, he'll kill us all.
You're crazy!
Man, you don't even know if there's gas in those cans, man.
I know it's a better chance than we have running around in these woods getting picked off one by one.
No, you're right. Everything is soaked. How are we going to start a fire?
If one of us can get close enough to throw that gas on him,
we can light him up.
You're all high. No way. I am not.
Do you have a better idea?
No.
All right, let's do this. How?
The foursome treks back through the woods. Alongside the shed lies Shannon's body. Leading the way, Ben sees her corpse and cringes. He hands Marcus the pitchfork.
All right. Hey, buy me some time in here. All right. Yell if you hear anything.
They split up. Marcus and Mary Beth head toward the cabin. Ben ducks into the shed. Misty stands sentry outside. Mary Beth and Marcus arrive at the cabin and stand back to back, intently keeping a lookout. Marcus clings to the pitchfork. Outside the shed, Misty holds her folded arms close to her body as she swings her torso, checking the trees to her right and left. Wide-eyed, Marcus and Mary Beth stare toward a sound in the trees.
You see anything?
Nah.
Ben finds a fuel canister under a bloody raccoon. The raccoon snaps at him. Outside, the others startle.
I'm okay.
Misty relays Ben's status with a thumbs up to Marcus and Mary Beth. Ben kicks the critter off the can.
I don't like this. It's too quiet.
All right, come on, let's distract him.
Hey, asshole! Come out, we're right here!
Yeah, come out, get us, Crowley, where are you?
Come on, you freak! You look like you've been molested by wolves!
In the shed, Ben checks the fuel can.
Show yourself, you ugly bastard!
He sets it down.
Come and get me, Crowley!
What? You afraid I'm gonna whip your ass again, you little bitch?
With eyes wide and alert, Marcus scans their surroundings. Inside, Ben checks more cans.
All right, come on! One-on-one, me and you! I'll put my foot so far in your ass, you're gonna be pulling shoelaces out your teeth for a week!
Ben opens another can.
You see anything?
Nothing.
They gaze over to Misty, but all they see is her jacket lying atop some brush.
Ben, get out of there! Ben! Hurry up now!
Misty's head flies at him and hits Ben in the ear. Then her torso smacks into him. Ben sees Victor charging at him with the hatchet. Just then, Mary Beth stabs Victor's head with a hand rake. As Victor tries to wrest himself free, Ben douses him with fuel. Victor shoves Mary Beth away. She and Ben maneuver to the entrance. Victor clutches at the rake in his head. Ben flicks Misty's lighter and tosses it at Victor. It sets his overalls aflame.
Yes, burn, bitch!
From outside, Mary Beth, Ben, and Marcus watch flames lick Victor's hulking body. Consumed by the blaze, he falls to the floor of the shed. It starts raining through the shed's dilapidated roof.
You gotta be fucking kidding me!
The flames burning Victor's body dwindle.
Now what?
Ben, just come on, let's go!
Ben! Ben! Hey!
goddess's time. Don't waste it. Come on.
The three hurry away. On the floor of the cabin, Victor lies unmoving. The waning flames lick his charred midsection. As Mary Beth, Marcus, and Ben sprint through the woods, the last of the flames on Victor's body die out. The trio scurries down an embankment. They race past a length of fence into an area marked by tall stone pillars.
This way! There's gotta be a path that leads into the cemetery!
Leading the way, Mary Beth weaves a path into the cemetery, past an array of large grave monuments. The trio stops, looking around for which way to proceed.
Over here!
Ben guides them onward, continuing deeper into the cemetery. They reach a tall wrought iron fence.
All right, let's follow this till we find an opening.
The three race along the fence.
There it is.
Thank God.
Victor's found them. He hurls his hatchet at Ben, who ducks just in time. Victor chases them around the cemetery.
He's here, coming, go!
There's a gate!
Mary Beth rushes at the gate, but it's padlocked. Victor catches up and dives onto Ben. As he snarls, saliva drips from his mouth into Ben's.
Oh,
Mary Beth kicks Victor off Ben, but he grabs Marcus's leg. The others pull Marcus.
You got me! Ow! God!
Ah!
God's gonna break me in half!
They let go, and Mary Beth kicks at the arm with which Victor holds Marcus. She jabs her foot into an open wound on his forearm, and Victor rolls away, writhing in pain. The 20-somethings bolt, taking cover behind a mossy brick wall.
That was the only gate.
Aw, damn, man, it's back into the woods!
From behind, Victor grabs Marcus, squeezing him tightly.
Run!
As Mary Beth drags Ben away from his friend, Victor sets Marcus down, pulls his arms behind his back, and tears them from his torso. Marcus falls to the ground, and Victor drops Marcus's arms onto his body. Through a gap in the fence, Mary Beth and Ben escape the cemetery. Ben looks back. Victor picks up Marcus, swings him into a monument, and breaks his skull. Blood splatters onto a statue. Ben steals one last glance back at the cemetery, then follows Mary Beth under a tree branch adorned by swaths of Spanish moss. They stop in a clearing, and Ben throws up.
No! Marcus! I can't go any further!
Yes, you can! Come on! I think I hear the river playing! Come on! No. Oh, we're not gonna die out here, okay?
She drags him onward. Meanwhile, at the cemetery, Victor yanks a post from the wrought iron fence, creating an opening. Mary Beth and Ben finally reach the water's edge. He rushes in.
No! No! Don't get even higher than there!
Then where do we go?
The fence post flies into Ben's foot. Victor emerges from behind a tree. Unable to remove the post, Ben pushes it forward, tearing flesh. As Victor runs at them, Mary Beth helps Ben get the post to an angle. Victor runs into the fence post, impaling himself through the neck. His deformed, hatchet-scarred face hangs there, unmoving. A puff of air escapes Victor's lips, spitting a mouthful of blood into Ben's face. Ben wipes the blood from his eyes.
Come on.
Mary Beth helps him stand, and Ben rips his foot free of the fence post. With his arm around her, they hobble away. Ahead of them, they see a rowboat at the water's edge.
It's my daddy's boat. Come on, come on.
Mary Beth helps Ben to the boat. The moon reflects on the water's smooth surface. The water begins to ripple as Mary Beth paddles them away from shore. She raises the paddles from the water, setting them down on the edge of the boat, and hangs her head. Ben winces in pain, looking down at bloody flesh that seeps through his torn black boot. Mary Beth removes a button-up she wears over a long-sleeved tee.
Use this.
Ben takes it from her and wraps it around his foot. Softly, he touches her leg. She nods, sadly smiling.
No. This is my daddy. Thanks, please.
Listen.
Ben caresses her cheek.
We're alive. We made it.
Suddenly, Mary Beth's yanked off the boat and pulled underwater.
Mary Beth!
Below the surface, her head darts frantically, searching the water. All she can see are swamp plants. She tries to swim to the surface, but is caught on tree branches. Ben leans over the boat. He's unable to reach her.
Mary Beth!
Under the water, she flounders, unable to free herself. Finally, she spots a hand reaching through the water. Pushing against the water, she's able to reach the hand. As it grips her tightly, she sees a gaping wound on its forearm. Sitting in the boat, Victor pulls her to the surface. Ben lies beside him, missing an arm and barely conscious. Victor pulls Mary Beth close. Cut to black. End credits. Line producer, Sarah J. Donahue. First assistant director, Craig Borden. Additional credits roll. We'll be right back. Logos appear. This film is protected by the laws of the United States and other countries. Any duplication, in whole or in part, is a violation of United States copyright laws. The characters, places and events in this motion picture are fictitious, and any resemblance to any persons, living or dead, places or events is purely coincidental. Hatchett. Copyright 2007, Hatchett, LLC. All rights reserved.